Redbeard's Outfitter is a Mobile, Alabama-based outfitter offering a carefully curated selection of gear and apparel, outfitting you for your next adventure, exploring our world, and building community. We love this local store, and we love supporting folks like them who are building community in the outdoor space. Plus, they have some spectacular apparel for Alabamians and all the gear anyone would need to be ready to enjoy the outdoors. Use promo code TSO for a 20% discount online or visit them in store. Visit redbeardsoutfitter.com for more information. This is The Storied Outdoors, a podcast somewhere between Lewis and Tolkien and Lewis and Clark, finding clarity in the stories we tell and the adventures that shape us. Welcome to The Storied Outdoors. My name is Brad Hill, and man, I'm joined as always by my good friend and co-host Brian Gill. We're honored today to have Ty Walker and joining us from the Trout Hatchery. Ty and his family, I love this. I was reading on their website, and I just wanted to use what you guys put on your website. Wholeheartedly pursue the Lord in His ways, in stewarding our land well with compassion and wisdom, and earnestly seeking to love on and teach others about living a life connected to God and His creation, the way we're always intended to. Man, I love that. Ty and his family jumped in and revitalized the 1930s trout hatchery there in Newcastle, Virginia, that was once owned by the state of Virginia. The hatchery is fed by a spring water coming straight out of the rock, and it feeds a nutrient-dense Virginia stream with 7 working ponds and a whole lot more. They grow trout from egg to full-grown trout that they package and ship all over the place. He says, our desire at Smoke and Chimneys is to figuratively put smoke back into the chimneys, or in other words, bring life back into the land physically and spiritually. That's just a small glimpse at all the things going on at the hatchery, but sufficient sort of to get us started. I was introduced to you guys through Instagram. I think I probably fall into the bracket of people that you guys market to because I love fly fishing and trout and all of that stuff. And here it is. It shows up in my feed promoted. And I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And so I checked it out. And man, after going through you guys' website, I was just intrigued at what you guys are doing and how you're doing it and why you're doing it. And so you and I started talking a little bit about you coming on the podcast. And then soon after, our friends that we've been on their show before, the Dads on the Fly, had you on. I didn't know they were having you on when we were talking. But I was excited to see you talking to those guys and glad that you were there. And man, we're glad that you're here. And after reading all that, you seem like our kind of people. And so Ty, man, welcome to the Storied Outdoors, buddy.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to talking today.
Ty, can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing and where this desire to homestead and revitalize something like a trout hatchery comes from?
Yeah, so I grew up in Southwest Virginia on a 300-acre kind of cow-calf operation. Spent a lot of time outside, dirt bikes, paintball, the whole gig, you know. You know, one of my earliest memories, like Sunday after church, my dad would like take us down to the creek and we called it creaking, just like looking for lizards and crawdads. And I don't know, you know, I have 3 kids, so it's been amazing to like kind of recreate that experience like with them. But yeah, man, grew up on a farm, and I think largely though, I just kind of took a lot of it for granted. I mean, because once I graduated college, like I don't know, man. I wanted to like go to the city, you know? So anyway, I could get into that more. But yeah, man, grew up just on the land.
That's awesome. So I, you know, if you were in South Alabama where Brad and I grew up, we'd probably call it cricken.
Cricken. Okay. Nice. I like that.
Oh, man. I think a crick has got to have a tire in it.
Yeah.
It's just a creek if it doesn't have a tire. It's a creek if it's got a tire.
That's so true.
I love that.
Man, what's up, Ty? What's one of your earliest memories of feeling a real connection to the outdoors, to the water?
Definitely I mean, I go back to like the creaking thing. I just, man, just the, we would start downstream and kind of work our way up. And like, there's never the same turn. There's never the same rock. And just that sort of idea of that, like it's unending, you know, like the thing just goes on up forever, you know, and it's just kind of endless sort of exploration. And even now when like I'm wade fishing, like, man, I always want to keep walking up, you know. And dad's like, man, I'm done. You go. I'm like, you know, just the idea of that next bend, that next fish, that I don't know. And I think it's really, there's so many similarities between like that and just like, you know, our relationship with God. You know, he's always, there's always more, you know, and he's always drawing us, you know. And anyway, I could go on about that. But yeah, man, just, yeah.
I think, that makes me think about, I think it's Lewis's Surprised by Joy book, where I think he was surprised by, as smart as he was and all the knowledge that Lewis had, when he got in relationship with God, there was always more. There's always another bend with God. There was always more to know. And that was really a joy in that he found in God, in Christ, is there's like he's infinite. And so there's just like a river, like he just like keeps going. Like there's another thing around the bend. There's more to know about who God is.
For
Man, I
sure,
love that.
man.
Love that.
Now you've been on, Brad mentioned it earlier, been on other podcasts and talked at length about the hatchery and how it works and the minutiae of the process and all that. And I would actually encourage our listeners to go and check out those episodes of when Ty has been on. But we want kind of want to shift that angle a little bit and ask you a question about kind of the more on the spiritual side of things, the faith side. How have you seen God's truth, beauty, and goodness in the process of raising trout?
Man, that's a big question to unpack there. You know, it's interesting. I think of that verse. Well, let me back up. So a wild fish in a stream, right? That fish is not swimming all upstream, downstream, frantically looking for food, does it? No. They may sit in one run and they're trusting that the wholeness of that ecosystem is enough to provide for the needs of that one fish, right? You know, what was Jesus's prayer, man? Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't pray for monthly bread, weekly bread, didn't pray for a truckload of bread, you know, but I think just in our sort of American mindset, man, we want that, you know, we want 3 years worth of savings in our bank account, or we want all this back stock. But you look at creation, man, look at a deer, look at a wild trout, man, they're lean, mean, healthy, but they got no baggage. They're in their lane, allowing God and his order to feed that fish. Am I making sense here? I'm not trying to get too esoteric, but me and then running this business, I mean, a lot of times, man, I'm here, there, I feel like I got to do that because this is, I mean, this is my only income, you know, this trout hatchery. So a lot of times, I mean, I get that like frantic type feeling. And man, I think about like the trout, man. I'm like, it says, God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So that's one of my, like, I mean, this morning, man, I have to tell myself that verse regularly, because if that verse doesn't become my reality, then I start to get, I mean, what if you saw a wild fish swimming all up and down ever? You'd be like, dude, something is wrong, right? Something's wrong. But like, you know, and I know for me, like there's been seasons I've lived my life like that and it doesn't produce fruit or a healthy environment for me or my family. So I think that would be an example of seeing God's order in just what he's created.
Man, I love that. I think about the verse that talks about, you know, consider the lilies. You know, they don't toil, but they're clothed in more splendor than Solomon, you know, and it's just this idea of God's provision in the order of created things that he has. That's really good. I mean, I think about how often I find myself in a trap of this busyness and just the desire for simplicity.
Yeah, that's so good. So the hatchery is like, I love the, it is fed by an artesian well. Is that right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, it's coming up out of the rock, man. It's crazy.
That's incredible. Ice cold. And so you got this current. I love in one of the videos, it shows you like turning on that valve and that water just starting to bubble. And so you got this current pushing through like where you are, because the trout need that they like that current, right? So
right.
There's that water movement. And that's something I've always loved about, one of my favorite things about trout in particular. I like fishing of all kinds. I live on the Gulf Coast where we saltwater fish and there's freshwater fish. But like trout being like aimed upstream, they're looking upstream, you know, expecting of what's coming. You know, downstream for them to eat on. And they're just kind of sitting right there in that, you know, right in that current, facing the current and taking it head on. And they're just, you know, like you said, relax. They're not worried about where their meal's coming from. They're just waiting on it to come to them. And
yeah,
man, the simplicity of that is rich and beautiful for us to rest in that current. But then there is that idea of like, there's pressure coming, you know? And so they're constantly building that strength and able to sit in that current.
Yeah.
And I remember I remember a guy telling us that he would always give us direction to look for nervous water.
Yeah.
and that's where, because that's where the trout rest. They like that nervous water, and that it's moving and they're pushing against it, but they're also on it, rides their food and their sustenance.
Yeah.
And man, I really, really like that. I love those kinds of parables and sort of metaphor. Jesus taught often in parable, right? I mean, some would call it a more of an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Are there times when you're doing your work around the hatchery, outside of what we just talked about, that, you know, that where you see or you understand sort of the person of God, or you see his character? Maybe a teaching of scripture comes alive through the work that you do on the farm.
Yeah, man, I just have so many. I mean, this whole thing has been, I mean, I have so many testimonies, man, of just like how God's like just showed up. You know, one time, just getting the thing off the ground was like insane. And one time I was out with my dad. We were up on the Upper Jackson River, and we were just out for the day, just wade fishing. There's mainly rainbows up there. And I remember in that day I caught, a wild bow, a wild brown and a wild brook trout all in the same. And I just felt like God speak to me. He was like, man, like you really think like things are impossible, and they're really not. Like the fact that, like, how many times would I have to go out to try to make that happen again? Like you'd spend your whole life doing that, you know? And, yeah, I mean, we got to the hatchery with like pretty much nothing. I didn't even have a weed eater. So it's been just like, I remember because when we left our family farm, I mean, it's like, tractors and gear and stuff, and I get to the hatchery and I just got my 89 Land Cruiser in this ragged out wire trailer, and I'm like, I got nothing to even start this thing with, you know. But I really saw God's hand in it, that now that we're kind of, you know, got some momentum, like I can really see that, man, like God, he's really done it all, and he's really showed up. And all I've had to do is just show up every day, you know, with, you know, a good attitude, you know. And he's kind of opened the doors for us to be like doing what we're doing, you know.
How has the running the hatchery changed you as a fly fisherman?
Honestly, man, I have such I have a such greater appreciation for trout than I did, even when I just fly fished. You know, it's funny, like on our videos and stuff, primarily the most negative comments we get are from fly fishing people.
Really?
Yeah, man. Dude, it's so weird. Like, I mean, people calling the fish ditch pickles. Dude, I died. I'd never even heard that. It's like bunch of he was like, yeah, man, bunch of these, you know, bunches the smoking chimneys artisanal ditch pickles, bro.
Oh, man.
It's just funny because, like, dude, fly fishing people, like, they rag on like hatchery raised fish, but it's like, why did they make it the fish's fault? You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, they've all been fed this one narrative. And it's like, dude, I'm on the Yeti team, the Filson team, the Sims team. Like, you don't think, and I'm not trying to get an attitude here. It's just like, dude, you have one moment with a fish when you connect and hook up with a wild fish on a stream, right? I'm seeing these fish every day for sometimes 2 and 3 years. I mean, raising brown trout from an egg, hatching them, and then they're 2.5 pounds.
That's
And then you
awesome.
want to tell me that I don't know what, you know what I'm saying? It's
Yeah.
just, it's just the fly fishing scene just drives me nuts sometimes, honestly. I mean, you have some of the most humble, salt of the earth people, but then you have some of the most like prideful, arrogant, think they know everything crowd too. I don't know, dude. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox there on that, but
That's so
just
funny
to
because
see an egg, and that egg is gonna live in this creek. I mean, bro, it takes, I mean, a wild fish after a year is only like 8 inches long. And you're like, that egg and little thing this big has survived. And then you catch a 6-inch fish and you're bummed. And you're bummed.
Oh man, that makes
Like,
me appreciate my tiny fish that I always catch.
dude, bro, they're sacred, bro. And you catch that fish, like, oh, that's not huge. It's like, dude, that fish is a survivor, dude. I mean, when you have hatch rates of, you know, 5-6% survival in a wild setting, dude, five fish out of 100 make it to that size, and you caught one, and then you're not stoked on that. I mean, you're all out of
That's
whack, dude.
fascinating. Because I'm sure there's a struggle at the hatchery. Like, I mean, you're in a protected environment and that they're hard to raise there, right? I mean,
Yeah, I mean, even like, I mean, dude, even yesterday, bro, we're sitting there trying to do something, and the guy that's helped me, Zach, he's like, man, there's an eagle. And we look over, dude, that thing hits the water, grabs him a fish, deuces, just rolls out. I'm
it's like
like,
a
oh
buffet.
man.
Like it showed up
Yeah,
to
dude. I don't
the
mind if the eagles are around, there's no herons, and I'm not a big heron fan, but anyway,
I bet not.
yeah, the otters are the worst, dude. They will crush the fish. We trap during the winter, and then yeah, I've got dogs too, but yeah, man, I
This
mean,
sneaky little otter coming in, feasting.
dude, they will wreck the fish.
That's incredible. I mean, I really appreciate that. I've never really considered,
And I'm not trying
considered
to
the
tell
trap.
everybody what to do or what to think. I'm just trying to give a little perspective
Little
to,
perspective.
yeah.
That's helpful for me. It makes me certainly appreciate my little bitty fish that I'm holding closer to
Yeah.
the camera. So my fish would be a lot bigger if my arms were longer. That's right.
Yeah, I
Oh
know.
man. Yeah, those when I went through some of the videos and I saw, I mean, one, I also I want to compliment like whoever is taking the photos and just the overall look of the things that you guys do is incredible. And I know that's difficult to do. So somebody knows what they're doing because everything looks beautiful. I don't know who that is, but some of those pictures of the little eggs and just how
Yeah.
tiny and fragile they are astounding. And but certainly like them surviving is I think a testament to, a testament one to the creator, to God's
Yeah.
creative order and how things survive and make it. It is a miracle. And it really causes awe. I mean, for me to see any time I get the privilege to pull a trout out of the water, be it whatever it may be, a brown trout or a rainbow or a, you know, the only three that I've ever caught are the brook trout, brown trout, and rainbow trout. I've never been able to travel to encounter any other kinds of trout, but other than sea trout down here. But
yeah.
But to see, like, especially like a brook trout, the amount of color in a little brookie is,
dude, it's insane.
Yes, they're so beautiful, and I just find myself going, man, if this was created, there's got to be a creator, because this is magnificent, you know.
Yeah.
And just find myself, you know, worshiping and going, man, praise the Lord for this little guy.
Yeah, for sure.
I think about, you know, you hike up into the taller, I mean, the upper streams way up in the Smokies, and you catch a fish, and it's like the water, like, I don't even know how they got up there, you know, and it's just like, how do you, it's crazy, because we had to climb, you know, we're climbing to where we're going, and like these fish are up above us, and it's crazy to see those wild fish up there and just know that, you know, they're, like you were saying, you know, they're standing in that, some, you know, a lot of times they'll stay in that one part of the stream and just feast, and, you know, and they're not growing huge because the water's not very deep up there, but it's just, it's beautiful to see all that.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself wanting to be around anything but fish sometimes though? like not wanting to go fishing, does it dull your desire to go fishing?
Dude, I texted my dad like 10 minutes ago and I was like, hey dude, are we still fishing on Friday? Like the walleye are running up near here. So, man, I love it, dude. I love the hatchery fish. I love wild fish. I guess the answer's no, man. I mean, I think the it's not so much the fish. It's just like I live there at the hatchery. So sometimes you're like, dude, like your work and your life become so like co-mingled, you know? It's like I'm trying to like take a break, and then I look outside and I'm like, oh, I should probably go, you know, pick that up and do this, and you know what I'm saying? So just trying to have some of that, not even so much separation, just trying to like build my life and my family and my work kind of all into this sort of balanced thing, because to be honest, I can't separate my life and like my work. I live there. It's like my whole thing, you know? So, and I can't leave cause I live there, you know? So I've had to like, how can I obviously, you know, set some time aside to like be with my kids and stuff, but then how can I involve like my kids in kind of the day to day thing, you know? Because yeah, that separation is
the work-life balance ain't happening when you live where you work. It's pretty tough.
Yeah.
What are some of those ways that you do try to incorporate, you know, your family and your kids into the work that you're doing? What does that look like?
So I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and then a 1-year-old. So it's girl, boy, girl. So Eve and Grattan, the two older ones, man, they come out and feed with me. You know, Grattan comes down to the building sometimes while we're processing, just getting him like around it and seeing like, you know, what does it look like to get something done, you know? And just letting him be around me but with that, I'm not going to get as much done if it was just me, you know? So I have to like know that. And if I'm aware of that, but if it's like hot and heavy and I really got to get stuff done, like that's not a time to like involve the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sometimes you know, asking for their help is like, really, it's really not about the project. It's really the time with them. Cause you're really not going to accomplish anything. In fact, you may have to go back and redo
it. Right. You have to redo it. This is the quality time that's together.
Yeah, for sure. And if I'm not having a moment where I can do quality time, I just got to get stuff done. Then it's better for me to just let them, you know, stay with Shannon or something, you know? Yeah. So yeah, just trying to navigate that. But
That's incredible. I do want to talk a little bit about where does that idea of the putting the smoke back in chimneys, where did that come from? That's really interesting.
So, in my grandparents' farm where we got started, there's two stone chimneys built in the 1800s. Nothing left there. The house is gone. The two chimneys are there. And it was just really a vision of ours to, like, we're getting this family farm, like, revitalized, right? But the chimneys are just standing there. Like, there's no fire in the chimneys, you know? And just that idea of, like, revitalizing, like, the old thing, you know? Like, making it new. And also, you know, I was on staff at the House of Prayer in Pasadena, California for some years. And just, like, the idea of, like, the fire on the altar, you know, worship and prayer is a big deal to us. And yeah, man, just that kind of the synergy of the two, of the physical and the spiritual, you know? So we really, yeah. Sometimes people have trouble with the name. They're like, smoking chin. Like, you know, you can take some like five times to get it right, but it's fine, man. You know?
I like the creativity of it. I was fascinated by that idea of like bringing life back into, you know, something, especially like, you know, you guys have revitalized something and taking something that was, you know, was already there, but not really working anymore and brought it back to life. And man, what a picture of what Christ does in us, you know, even the process of coming to the hatchery and something, making things new, right?
Yeah.
We've said it up, I don't know how many times, you know, in conversations on this podcast, but he says, behold, I'm making all things new, not all new things.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see that sort of lived out by you guys in that trout hatchery, because it is beautiful. It's a stunning place and looks like an incredibly peaceful and beautiful place. And so to bring life back into a place like that's pretty, pretty inspiring and encouraging. What part of, you know, you have a piece on your website that's a button you can click on that's prayer. What is it about including that in your work that's important to you guys?
There's a couple things. I think one, just like personally, like, you know, and I've shared this before, like, but like during my time in college, I had like major like depression issues, suicidal thoughts. I just mentally, I was just going off the rails, you know, and I just had a moment where I was like, God, if you're real, you've got to like counter me and like bring me out of the pit, you know? And, you know, it wasn't overnight, but slowly, like all that, just my whole mental, whatever I was in, like it left, you know? And from then on, it's like just the practice of spending time talking to God, letting him speak to you was just, it wasn't even something, honestly, I really like wanted to do, but it was something I had to do to just stay sane, honestly, man, you know? And then over time, it's developed into something really, really amazing. And I think too, man, just like the practice, you know, it's like, I think, you know, I'm really intrigued by like the monastic communities, you know, like the Desert Fathers, Mothers, you know, the Moravians, you know, just making prayer like a practice. We do like evening, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evening prayer, like just as a family, like at this little, our like where we have our Airbnb, and it's just been cool, man. And yeah, it's just like part of who we are, you know, and some people may read the site or whatever and be turned off or turned on. I don't know. I don't really care. But yeah, man, we're just trying to be transparent, honest, like on just who we are and what we're doing. And, you know, we're not perfect. But yeah, this is kind of the journey we're on.
I love that, man. I love that you're able to kind of put that out there because people, you never know, man. People may be going through the same thing that you were going through in college and just reach out. That's cool.
Yeah.
You talked about your family and being a young family. Yeah, I have young kids, mine are 9 and 7. Brad's a little bit ahead of us. How is running this business and this lifestyle shaped and changed you as a and your family? What has it done for your relationship?
Dude, at the beginning, it was, I mean, bro, it was hell, dude. I mean, it was like, it was like I was living like in a crock pot, you know, like just that slow smoldering. Like, dude, I was stressed. And I'm like, dude, I just need to go get a job, dude. Like, this is not helping me. This is not helping my family. Like, I'm stressed, freaking out, trying to do this, that. And it was just like, this is so stupid. I just need to go to Walmart, just ask for an orange vest, and just push the carts around. And then just go home and be like, dude, I think,
problem.
Listen, man, and this is the truth here. Like, walking in high levels of faith, it can be either the best of both worlds or the worst of both worlds, depending on your mindset. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This didn't say be transformed by working harder, practicing more. He's like, dude, it's here, bro. Mm-hmm. And like, I was so just stressed, and in the process, I mean, working 14-hour days, like 6 days a week, you know, and at the first it was worse, dude. Mm. But I didn't have any other, like, I'd already kind of not burned bridges. I just didn't have any other thing going on other than this. So it's like, there's really no other path for me to take. This is my path. Mm. And like, I'm going to end up screwing up a lot if I can't get my act together and learn how to do this in a peaceful, conscious, spirit-filled kind of way. And again, still not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it was like the training I needed to, like, I feel like the process of like just becoming like who I would like supposed to be, you know, but extremely painful.
How'd you get there?
Extreme.
How'd you change that mindset?
So, hold on. Where is it? I have these declarations I read every single time. All right, here, dude. My little book, dude. I just go here. Dude, I read this every day. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me from poverty. Christ has redeemed me from sickness. Christ has redeemed me from spiritual health. I've given in his gift. Like, dude, it's these verses, but they're in a way that's talking about you. Mm. It takes me like probably 10 minutes. Dude, I do that every single day. Wow. Because I need the reality of like the word to overcome the reality of circumstances. Mm. And like the circumstances, you know, people are like, you know, they're stressed. I'm like, dude, sometimes I have like, you know, $30,000-$35,000 worth of bills every month to keep this thing going. I'm like, you talk about stress, dude. Mm. And like, I'm supposed to like come home and, you know, everything's cool at dinner and, you know, my wife wants to buy something that I think is real stupid, but I'm trying to support. You know what I'm saying? You see all those like dynamics.
Honey, we don't need another cow.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah, but it's like, dude, the reality of situations and circumstances is great for me, at least. Mm. For me, they are.
Yeah.
But it's like the reality of like who I am in Christ and what he's calling me to has to be a greater reality. But I can't experience that greater reality unless I'm engaging with that. You know, it's like we lost all those fish last year. I mean, dude, that was a disaster, you know? And like I had to go up on my...
What happened there?
I just had a bunch of pipes move. We had a low water type situation. It was just, it's a whole nother thing, but like lost probably like 20,000 fish, like 6 months of stock. Yeah, dude,
goodness.
Blood, but dude, it was a bloodbath.
Whoa.
And even this year, like I had to go up on my price like in January just because, like, I mean, these trout are, I mean, it takes a lot to raise them. And dude, I like lost some accounts, you know, and that was hard. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, God help me, you know what I'm saying? But it goes back to, am I going to be like, dude, if you're victim to any circumstance, you're victim to every circumstance. I really believe that. And I'm not saying that we have to be like impenetrable. I'm just saying like the heavenly reality has got to overcome situational realities, because if not, then I'm stressed trying to just me manage it all. And then it's just like, dude, I literally just need to go work for somebody, clock in, clock out, don't think about like that would be better. But I know this is my path, but I need to learn how to walk my path in a way that like I'm thriving and my family is thriving. And
Yeah, well, it comes back to what we said as we were what you talked about when we started, right? I mean, you're sitting in your path, you're sitting in your run on your bend of the river, and we have to trust that what we need is going to come on the currents of life around the bend, and sometimes that's hard, you know, especially when the water gets low and our dorsal fin's sticking out of the water.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
Oh man.
yeah.
Hey, so I do want to ask. I'm curious about one thing. So, you guys, we're not raising. This is not a trout hatchery to supply stocking, you know, stocking ponds or stocking lakes, right? You guys are selling this as food for consumption. And so, are you when you send them out, are these cooked fish, non-cooked fish? Some of them are smoked. Some of them are, or is it a little bit of different? Can you tell us just a little bit about that and about that business side of what you
Yeah, so I mean, even like right now, like we got, you know, my hatchery manager Chris is here. Jake, we're smoking fish today. So
Ooh.
we take orders Sunday, we process fish Monday, all the fresh fish go out, UPS next day. Some of those are retail wrapped and frozen for more like grocery stores and that kind of thing. And then we smoke fish every week. So that's a three like couple day brine. Smoked on hickory and then retail packed and then frozen. So those will go to stores and then like online, shameless plug,
Ain't
smokingchimneys.com.
nothing
You can,
shame about it, man.
yeah.
We want to
You
talk
can
about it, brother.
order like a trout box, which is like you get a couple of like the fresh, you get a couple smoked, you get a couple of our trout cakes, you get a
And
trout hat.
those are like a crab cake kind of a thing. Is that
Yeah,
I'm
my
understanding?
wife still calls them crab cakes. And I'm like,
They're
babe. She's from
trout cakes.
Maryland. She's from Maryland, so I don't think she's ever gonna get it right.
Yeah,
But
you
anyway,
might
I'm
that
like,
be it might be an uphill battle.
yeah. I'm like, babe, it's
That
trout
looks aw
cakes.
yeah, they look
Yeah,
awesome.
yeah. Yeah, no, they are, man. So yeah, it's basically just three products, the fresh slash frozen, and then yeah, the smoked and then the cakes. So
Wow.
That's really
yeah.
cool. What was that? I mean, was that process something that you had to learn, or is that something that you already knew a little bit about when it comes to like smoking fish? I mean, that's something I've never done. I mean,
Yeah, no,
I'd have
man.
to be looking
I
that up, you
mean,
know?
well, so, I mean, smoking like a fish or two, and then like, I mean, we're smoking like 90, 100 at a time,
Yeah.
and like keeping the consistency right, and like we're using like a Lang 84. I mean, stick burning, real fire, real smoker. It's not one of these like click a bunch of buttons and pellets, and I mean that's just not me. It's fine. I'm just saying. This is like kind of a labor intensive thing. You're feeding the fire. No, man,
That's
it
cool.
definitely took some time to get it dialed in. Yeah.
I bet, man. That's really neat,
Dude,
though.
our
I love it.
first round we did. So you got to grease like the trays, right? So the skin doesn't stick. We didn't know that. First round, I'm so stoked.
Oops.
Just got this new smoker. Put 90 fish on there.
Oh,
I'm
man.
like, man, they're looking great, man. We got to pull them off. Dude, skin sticking. So we had 90 torn apart Trout, dude. I was, yeah. I mean, I was not happy.
Were you able
dude.
To salvage I mean, that for the trout cakes?
Yeah, yeah. We used it for the cakes, but I mean, that's been the story of this. If I could say one theme from this whole thing has been take a messy action, pivot. Another messy action, pivot again. Like, because everything you're doing is not, it's never going to be right. Mm. Maybe some of it's not even half right. But if you don't do something, you don't know how to adjust. Mm. So it's been do something, adjust, 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 adjust it. So you've just spent 5 years trying things and then adjusting. So
that's such a metaphor for life, no matter what you do. Like, it's never going to be always smooth. It's never going to work out perfect every time. You're always going to have to. I think that's why, like, I love what you guys do. And when I look at scripture, I mean, one part of their world was the agricultural world, you know, and that's how, you know, most of them made their living for the most part was agriculture means. And so lots of Jesus's parables were coming out of an agricultural world. And one, because I think they really, really make a lot more sense. Like, we really understand things so much better when we're invited into that active metaphor of something on a farm, planting a seed. Like, oh, that I can see that process. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when you said all that, like, that is life. I mean, things are not going to always be smooth. There may be times of flat water, but there are going to be some rapids. There are going to be some
for sure,
nervous
man.
Water, man. There's going to be some skin stuck to the
smoker.
The smoker, yeah. You know, proverbially, like, that happens in life, you know, whatever it may be. And so having the tenacity and the attitude to remind yourself of, you know, this doesn't define me. We can figure this out. We can pivot. Mm-hmm. It's going to be all right.
Man, I would love to
that's
see.
That's such a great.
I'd love to see this, your hatchery on like a docuseries. See all of the opportunities for pivoting. And I mean, that sounds like it would be a fascinating, like, TV
yeah, we're
show.
Working on some like that. Yeah, it just, anyway, I got some stuff working this year, something around that, but,
that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, I was really interested. I'm always interested in when we talk different guests that we talk to, I would be fascinated to hear, you know, some of your thoughts, as in a world that's sort of all over the map. On what being a man is, when we meet somebody like you, men like you that are doing things like you're doing, we're interested in what your thoughts in defining manhood is, and then how you're doing that with your son, and how you're modeling that for your son.
Yeah, and so I guess my thoughts on that are. A man is primarily a giver. A man should always have like something to give, to add. A boy is primarily a receiver. You know what I'm saying? You're still both male, but like my son, he's 4. He's a guy just like me, but he's primarily receiving. And me as a man, I'm primarily giving. Mm. I think we get it screwed up. Like, a man should not be primarily receiving, dude. He should be primarily giving. Like, it's like that's how we're wired. And like, if you look at the life of Jesus, he was giving, man. Dude, his cup ranneth over. He always had something to give. Either it was food, praying for healing, a word of wisdom, boom, boom, boom. And that's it's easy to make excuses and say, well, this and that. That's where I'm at right now, personally. Just like, dude, I should always have something to give in every situation.
That's solid.
And yeah, like that's just my take, but yeah.
That's a good word, man. That's a good word.
How has this, homesteading and revitalization of the hatchery shaped you as a man?
Um, It's been very humbling, man. Very humbling. You know, I mean, pretty much. And I think even like from other guys, it's like, oh, cool. Like you're raising trout. Like that's cute. You know, I'm working at XYZ business and I do blah, 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 blah. And that's cool, man. And I think for me, I've had to deal with just some of my own like insecurity, like, yeah, I mean, people think like, oh, it's just some trout in the pond. You know,
Shoot, I
is,
tell
am
you
I
what I
making,
thought.
is, am I making sense, dude?
Yeah.
Because you meet a lot, like, you know, you're hanging out with people and they're like, I'm an attorney, I'm a doctor, I'm a logistics, blah, blah, something you can't even understand, you know?
Well,
And
let's be
that's
honest. Some
cool.
people really church up what they do, you know. They really make
I
it
don't know,
sound
man.
a lot more important than what it really is.
Well, I don't know, dude. Yeah, I mean, and I think for me, it's been like, so I can eat in those moments, I can either like feel insecure or I can go the opposite way and be like, dude, this is like my path to walk. And like, I'm gonna be confident like in my path. Cause ultimately, like when I stand before the Lord, he's not gonna ask like, why didn't I walk someone else's path? He's gonna be like, dude, did you walk your path? You know? And this is I just I mean not this is just like my lot in life right now, you know? And I'm
Well,
gonna be fi try to be faithful with. Some people are really into it, man. They're like, oh, cool, like you guys. And it's awesome to like come on and share. But man, if you just live in a city and whatever, and you really don't have any context for the outdoors or food, it's like when I say I like raise trout, I mean it's like you might as well be talking about you know, living on the moon or something, you know? But well, then you
Oh,
can't even like, yeah. So then it's not even worth really even talking about, you know?
I told my wife whenever I came across it, I was like, man, I didn't know this was an option on the job sheet whenever I was in high school. I wish somebody had told me about this. This is pretty cool, man.
I know.
Man, I feel like it's more than just raising trout, though. You know, honestly, I feel like you're contributing to people's experience around a table. I mean, and that's community, and that's something that we're losing. And I think that the more we can just enhance that experience together around a meal and break bread together. I think that you're doing much more than just raising trout.
I think so too.
There's this Native American believer guy I follow, and he was like, a real definition of community is a group of people that are singing together, eating together, and working together. And he's like you have to have those like three elements, like just like getting coffee once in a while with somebody, like that's great. That's getting coffee. That's not community, you know? And like, let's just, and I won't go down the whole road of that, but food is just such a, man, it's just such a, it's like, dude, why did God make us like that? Do we need to eat all the time? You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe he was trying to make it a point that we would be with other people a lot during the day. Because that's what we need. So it's not a hindrance, it's like his mercy to try to put us in the environments that we were supposed to be in, you know? And so no, man, that's cool you've observed. I mean, that's like something I like carry in my heart, but it's cool that you observe that just on the outside looking in, you know?
That's
It's
awesome.
important. What you're doing, I feel like, is it's not just important for ecosystems and, you know, all other things, but it's also important for community building. And, you know, you're right. I mean, when Jesus, there was a Last Supper, and he talked about, remember me whenever you do this. And, you know, I think it does include the elements of that supper, but also I think it's the gathering that he also wants us to remember him in too.
For sure.
Yeah, I've often thought, I mean, was he, if I asked the question, was he just talking about the Eucharist? Or was he talking about, you know, a much larger subject in that, you know, Israel had all kinds of things in their lives that brought remembrance, that helped them remember, you know, they had the Feast of the Lord that reminded them that, you know, Feast of Tabernacles, that Lord dwelled with them, tabernacled with them in the wilderness, you know. And so each of their feasts, whether it's Passover and their deliverance out of Egypt, each of those helped them remember things. And so they had all of this history and things, elements that helped them remember. And so I think Jesus, potentially, he had in mind that they're going to be a bunch of Gentiles that are large in part, that they don't have all of this stuff to help them remember within their culture. And this is going to spread out much wider than just the people of Israel. One day, this is going to be every nation and every tribe. What does everybody have to do? Everybody's got to eat.
Yeah.
And so every time I would always teach this, every time that you sit down and break bread together, remember that Christ's body was broken for you. Every day, three meals a day, you know, for the most part. Some of us maybe even eat more than three meals a day. Maybe eat, you know, seven small meals or whatever it is. But each time you remember that principle that, you know, Christ's body was broken for you, that his death brought life, that those fish, that fish, their death that you're a part of and you see them consumed, that brings life. And a constant reminder for us that are people that forget is that death brings life, and Christ's death brought us eternal life. That fish's death brings us physical nourishment and life. Every time you drink water that quenches your thirst, remember that the blood of Christ was shed for you, that you may be cleansed.
Yeah.
And so, like, we can practice that not just at the Eucharist, but we can practice that throughout the day on a daily routine and remember. And I personally probably need that kind of frequency of remembrance, because we are people people that forget.
Yeah.
Ty, if you're sitting around a campfire, I love this. We you know, you guys want to put smoke back in chimneys. We love a good campfire, a good time around, say, a porch and a fire pit, or if you're out camping and you're sitting around a fire. What's one of your favorite stories to share or to tell? Perhaps it's a close call, or you can't believe we made it through that, or a wildlife encounter, or something amazing happened that still has you in awe. What's your favorite campfire story to share?
Gosh. When I lived in California, I would just go out, like, backpack on my own some, take my fly rod. I'd always, obviously, it's funny, my wife's like, "You don't like hiking." I'm like, "You're right. Unless there's fishing involved, like, I don't want to just go." I hike around my property all day, every day. I'm not going to take the little free time I have and just go hiking. Anyway, I won't get on a whole hiking kick. Anyway, I like hiking to fish.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Amen.
Yeah. Anyway. So I was in, like, the Golden Trout Wilderness. It's like up, like, you know, Central California. Anyway, I like hiking, and I really wanted to catch some California golden trout. You know, I'd never done that. So I'm like, you know, I got my maps and I get down there and I'm fishing, and it was amazing. I was there for like a couple days, and then on the way out, dude, I just, like, I'm like tired. I've been out there for days, like, I'm out of food. I'm like trying to get back. I'm like trying to hike out. Dude, just get absolutely dumped on, like, freezing rain. I'm like freezing. And I'm just like, I'm having like a moment, you know, and I don't know, dude, I got to the top of the hill, and dude, it was like this crazy, like, rainbow. And I don't know, man, I still can't really describe it. It was just like this, like, profound, like, moment, you know, where you're like, but again, I'm sopping wet. I'm freezing. I'm like, dude, I've, you know,
starving and hungry.
Yeah. Starving and hungry. But just like this moment of, like, beauty that just, like, it just, like, draws, like, your consciousness, you know, like, I don't know, man. I just felt like the closeness of God, you know. That's probably not like a close encounter story or whatever, but I don't even really know why I'm sharing this. I just, in like a moment that was so like, I don't know, stressful and tumultuous, like there's just this moment where like, you know, it's like, I don't know, man. I just feel like that verse, you know, it's the goodness of God that like leads men to repentance, you know? And like we forget that verse sometime, you know? And it's like there is like a goodness of God that supersedes the like situations and circumstances and yeah.
Amen. I love it. I liked it. That's a good
Yeah,
one.
that's a good one.
yeah.
We like to ask all of our guests this last question. What is your next adventure? It could be anything from, you know, something on the property, some trip, or a new adventure with your business.
So I've spent the past 5 years writing this internship curriculum called Spirit and Soil. It's a 12-week curriculum, and it's based around people encountering God through creation, and more specifically, developing practical farm skills in the context of like knowing the creator. Yeah, man. So I'm on week 10. So I'm like almost done with like the material. So I'm hoping, okay, not saying hope. By the end of the year, we're gonna have this puppy printed. And that's like our vision and real dream of Smoking Chimneys, is to do this internship 3 times a year, 3 different 3-month sessions with like 15 to 20, like, kind of young adult, able-bodied people that are interested in agriculture, but they're interested in like having a real like paradigm on like hearing God and participating and co-creating with him, like in what he's made.
Oh, good.
I feel like that's such a void, man. And God help me finish this thing. But yeah, dude. So that's in, and even I have moments I'm like, man, God, can you even do it? Like, I don't even, can you even, can we, can you even do this thing, you know? And I just feel like he reminds me, man, like, look how far I brought you with just this fish thing, you know? So yeah, man, it's that's kind of our next Smoking Chimneys, like 2.0. So
Would that be
that's
for
exciting.
college students, college age students, high school? What are
Yeah,
you
I
thinking?
think like, yeah, like young adult, like, you know, they've graduated college, you know, maybe they can take like, you know, a 3-month stint, you know, during the summer or spring, just to, you know, 'cause really quickly, like we did like a farming internship, like in Oregon, like years ago. And it was a, we learned all these great practical farm skills, but there was no context of God. And it was just like, dude, we're just like bunch of indentured servants out here. Like there was just, yeah, anyway, I didn't do well, but they about kicked me out a couple times. But and then I was on staff at the House of Prayer, California in Pasadena. Amazing. The prayer, the worship, it was awesome. But it was in an urban setting, which is fine. Nothing wrong with urban settings. I just was like, people have lived for thousands of years being engaged with the outdoors in a real way and having a real spirit-filled paradigm in the process. Like we've lost that. Like, can I take these sort of two worlds that used to be one and the same and do something that can help people start to work that muscle again? Does that make sense?
I love it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh man, that's what we're about.
Yeah, so
That's great.
I don't remember what your question was, but
That sounds like a great new next adventure to
That
me.
sounds
Yeah,
amazing.
for sure.
Well, thank you so much for
Sounds
sharing
like a
all of that.
great sounds like a great like gap year kind of a thing,
Yeah,
you know?
that's kind of what I was
Like I'm
thinking.
not really not really sure what I want to do, but that seems really interesting and go do that.
Yeah.
You know, for the 3 months, but yeah.
Yeah, we have like a page like on our thing. We're like, I'm gonna end up paying for it either way, but I just felt like to have an opportunity for people if they want to like contribute to help with like, cause you know, cause I've hired like an editor and like a graphic designer and like putting it all together. So, you know, it's cool. We got a donation last week from a guy that I don't even know, you know, he's in Tennessee and he just is like, dude, I really resonate with your vision and mission. And yeah, man, I just wanted to, you know, contribute some. So things super. Like that are really encouraging that, you know, we're on the right track.
That's great.
Very cool.
Well, Ty, it's been a great conversation. I hope, gosh, there's a lot of great stuff in there. And I really love the sort of the theme of, you know, maybe you're, you know, for you, even now, as you're writing that curriculum, man, maybe the rain's pouring and the water's cold and the hill is steep, but hopefully soon you'll get to the crest of that hill. And there's that rainbow showing you the goodness of God and reminding yourself of his goodness and his provision. And just like, you live out in your life at the hatchery, you know, seeing continually God's provision and God's goodness. Through the land, through the trout. And man, every time you pull one out, may your joy increase every time you pull one of those fish out and you look at it and think, man, this is part of God's creation. And you're a part of it, man. And what you do is really cool. I really think it's cool and an admirable and honorable trade and man, a great legacy, I think, for your kids to one day. You know, that's something that I didn't, you know, I certainly didn't follow my dad's footsteps and go work at the old paper mill where I grew up, you know, like, but having a legacy like that is something that'd be really cool to follow in the footsteps, man. That's exciting. And man, I really appreciate your heart and we're thankful for you coming on and sharing your heart and what God's been doing in your life through the hatchery and through the work there. And I hope maybe there's somebody listening that, you know, that wants to go and be a part of an internship like that or wants to contribute, or maybe they just want to, I hope everybody buys a trout box and get some fish.
There you go. Yeah,
and
man.
And enjoy some of those trout cakes, not crab cakes. And man, we feast together. Maybe one day we'll come visit. I love, please. Also, you guys have an Airbnb, which is stunning.
Come stay.
You have people to come stay there. So man, if you're looking for a beautiful place to go and retreat, man, find, we'll have all those links and all those, all that information on our show notes and on our website for people to connect with you and the work you're doing at the hatchery. There's so much more we could have talked about. I mean, it's not just trout. You guys have raw milk and a garden and you have a whole ecosystem and farm going there. That's really amazing. So go listen to those podcasts where you talk more about those things. And, thanks for listening to this episode. And we hope it encourages you and challenges you to write your own stories and share your own adventures in the place we love to call the Storied Outdoors. Redbeard's Outfitter is a Mobile, Alabama-based outfitter offering a carefully curated selection of gear and apparel, outfitting you for your next adventure, exploring our world, and building community. We love this local store and we love supporting folks like them who are building community in the outdoor space. Plus, they have some spectacular apparel for Alabamians and all the gear anyone would need to be ready to enjoy the outdoors. Use promo code TSO for a 20% discount online or visit them in store. Visit redbeardsoutfitter.com for more information.